Following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the worship service of Sunday, February 19th, 2017, and is sponsored by Gary and Mary Egan. Good morning. Welcome to worship at Holy Trinity. It's good to see all of you here on this beautiful day. We begin with the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We take a moment for silent reflection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand as we sing together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together. Holy God of compassion, you invite us into your way of forgiveness and peace. Lead us to love our enemies and transform our words and deeds to be like his through whom we pray. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than that one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, so that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Here ends the reading.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples and those who had gathered, You have heard that it was said, An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Children are invited forward. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. The smiley faces and the sunny day. I read the Gospel in the words of Jesus just a minute ago, and one of the words that I read, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you have any enemies? I didn't think so. Yeah, you know, a little bit. Once in a while you disagree with somebody, right? But I wouldn't say that you have probably any enemies. At least I hope not, right? Big countries have enemies with each other, and sometimes that leads to conflict. But us, I hope we all find ways to get along. Maybe, well, there's a wonderful story. Do any of you know the story of Ruby Bridges? Yeah, I bet maybe you've read this story during African American History Month. It's now, right? When we study about our past in this country and some of the people who've just done incredible work. She was a person who really helped the movement for equality. Ruby Bridges lived in a small tiny town in Mississippi, and when she was eight years old, her family moved to New Orleans, the big city. And a judge ordered that Ruby attend an all-white school. Okay, so she was an African-American girl, and the judge said she had to go to an all-white school. And at that time, people were not friendly toward African-American people, or many people weren't, right? And so there was a great anger on the part of some of the families, the white families. In fact, when Ruby went to school the first day, she had to be taken by some men who would protect her and keep her safe. And then she went into the classroom, and she was the only one there because none of the other white children would come and be there with her. Their parents wouldn't let them, right? And Ruby Bridges, there's a wonderful story about what happens later. Ruby Bridges is facing some really nasty kind of mean comments from people. She's being kind of bullied, right? I mean, she was protected by these guards, but the people were yelling at her and screaming at her just because she was black and she didn't fit and they didn't want her in their school, right? So I'm going to read to you just a couple parts of the story. Mrs. Henry saw Ruby's lips moving and wondered what Ruby could be saying. The crowd seemed ready to kill her. The marshals were frightened. They tried to persuade Ruby to move along. They tried to hurry her into the school, but Ruby wouldn't budge. Then Ruby stopped talking and walked into the school. There's the next picture, right? When she went into the classroom, Mrs. Henry asked her what happened. Mrs. Henry told Ruby that she'd been watching and that she was surprised when Ruby stopped and talked with the people in the mob. Ruby became irritated. "I didn't stop and talk with them," she said. "Ruby, I saw you talking," Mrs. Henry said. "I saw your lips moving." "I wasn't talking," said Ruby. "I was praying. I was praying for them." Every morning, Ruby had stopped a few blocks away from school to say a prayer for the people who hated her. This morning, she forgot until she was already in the middle of the angry mob. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is a story of Ruby, a little girl, praying for people who were persecuting her or who were angry with her. Sometimes that's all it takes, is to say a little prayer. When someone is angry with us or someone is mad at us, we pray even for our enemies. And hopefully you'll only come to understand that as you get a little bit older. But we certainly know what it's like to have disagreements with people, right? And we can pray for them. So let's pray right now, shall we? Dear God, thank you for being with us today and helping us to learn that you want us to pray even for people with whom we disagree. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys. Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. My grandpa was a great storyteller. I would sit for hours at the kitchen table and listen to him tell one great story after another. One time I asked him why he got into so many fights as a kid. And I remember exactly what he said. "When you don't speak English, you have curly, long red hair." He was the youngest of five boys. His mother had wanted a girl. "When you don't speak English, you have long, curly red hair, and you play the piano, you have to be able to fight." I don't think my grandpa, gentle and kind as he was to his family, ever turned the other cheek, at least as a kid. I'm not sure a whole lot had changed in the 50 years between my grandpa's childhood and mine. It was a relatively safe neighborhood that I lived in down in Owatonna, a new housing development on the north side of town. And our parents, some of you are old enough to remember these days, made us stay outside and play, even in the dead of winter, right? They locked us out of the house. Or was that just me? We stayed outside to play, where we created our own interesting world. I remember one particular event. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. A new boy named Brian moved into the neighborhood. Brian and I were about the same age and were about the same size, both big for our age. And so the neighborhood kids thought, as enlightened people, thought that we would get acquainted with each other best by having a fight. I wasn't thrilled about the idea of fighting this person that I had just met or hadn't actually met when I knew I was going to have to fight him. He seemed like a nice enough kid. But the alternative, and here's the point, which would have been a good measure of shame and humiliation. The alternative was worse than taking a few shots to the nose. I suppose the cheek turning happened when Brian and I later became friends. During the same era, I remember visiting the home of my other grandparents out in North Dakota and finding two pair of golden glove boxing gloves, the real thing. So I asked my dad if I could take them home with me, and I did. Back before people were concerned about concussions, we used to have unofficiated boxing free-for-alls in the backyard. We may have learned about turning the other cheek in Sunday school, but we didn't learn it in the backyard. Not at all. This was a Midwestern version of a shame-based culture. You don't back down from a fight unless you want to be called a chicken. It was a world in which juvenile pride and shallow courage reigned supreme. Now, I'm glad that the world has changed. At least I think it has. It did for my kids. But I did learn a lot from this world, okay? The first century inhabited by Jesus would have been even more shame-based than the culture I grew up in and some of you grew up in. More shame-based. There's an interesting theory about this concept of turning the other cheek. In those days, one would never strike a person with the left hand. Never. The left hand was only used for cleaning oneself and not for eating, embracing, cooking, or even striking another person. So to hit someone on the right cheek would mean it had to be a backhanded slap with the right hand like this. All right? To hit someone on the right cheek, you'd have to use your right hand and do this. You couldn't do this, right? You have to do this. All right? And the only person who would strike someone with the back of their hand was a master hitting a slave or a landowner hitting a peasant. So if someone of higher station hit you on the right cheek, offering them the left cheek would put them in a very difficult position. It would mean that they would either have to use their left hand, all right, which was unacceptable, or their right fist, which would mean they were now treating you as an equal. So turning the other cheek was really a way of shaming your abuser or putting the bully in his place. Jesus was not a proponent of violence or even of violent resistance. Nor was Jesus a proponent of passive acceptance, as this story would show. But as this image would suggest, Jesus was a proponent of non-violent resistance. Jesus wasn't teaching his disciples to be passive, but teaching them to be non-violent when standing up to bullies. Okay? And of course, as Ruby Bridges taught us, praying for the bullies is one form of non-violent resistance as well. The purpose of the law, according to the Jewish people, and Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount is expanding upon the Jewish understanding of the law. The purpose of the law was always to order the life of God's people in their relationship with God and one another and with all of the earth and the creation. Sometimes the law was especially legalistic with rules that restricted behavior, which is true in the first reading from Leviticus. The phrase, "you shall not," happens 15 times in this short reading from Leviticus. "You shall not," 15 times. Sometimes there would be an affirmative follow-up to the restriction like this one. "You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien." So sometimes there was a positive follow-up to a negative restriction. When Jesus comes onto the scene, he is more concerned with the positive response than he is with the negative restriction. He ends this section of the Sermon on the Mount with the words that stop us dead in our tracks, right? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. For those of us who struggle with perfectionism, this is not good news for us. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I think what Jesus means by perfection, and most commonly the words that are used are fulfill or complete, you know, words that kind of mean similar, have similar meanings to the Greek word for perfection. I'm going to say here that Jesus means by perfection something more akin to consciousness. Consciousness, okay? Jesus is very concerned with people being aware of how they are interacting with one another, aware of their surroundings, aware of their relationships. The purpose of loving your enemies, for example, was to recognize the larger truth that God has made the sun to rise on good and evil alike. All are part of a redeemable creation. To hate one's enemies assumes that they are irredeemable in the eyes of God. It doesn't mean we're unsafe or that we don't protect ourselves or even that we wouldn't find a rationale at some point to go to war, right? But to hate one's enemies assumes that they are irredeemable in the eyes of God. It takes a conscious person to recognize that is not the case. That God cares about all that God has made, not about some more than others. Part of what it means to grow in faith, then, is to become more conscious of the world around us, as well as the world that is envisioned in the teachings of Jesus, like what we have here in the Sermon on the Mount, now for the fourth Sunday in a row. I never thought about those kids with whom I tussled back in the day as my enemies. I was very happy when the kids who came up for the children's sermon didn't raise their hand when I asked them if they had any enemies. But I certainly understand the concept of enemy as an adult. And I think there is some good news here. It's not that my enemies will be transformed by my loving them. If only that were the case, right? But the good news may be in having a greater consciousness about how my enemies and I are loved by God. And therefore, there is hope for reconciliation, even if it's not me or you or us who will accomplish it. If nothing else, I am aware that my enemy and I are equally dependent on God. And my prayer will be that God will bring peace and healing. And Jesus continually invites us to share in that work of peace and healing. Amen. Join together in confessing the faith of the Church.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We join together now in praying as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,